right. Can you hear me? It's good. Okay. So this morning, we are going to be continuing on in the series that we have started around emotionally healthy relationships. So we did a lot in the former months around our spirituality, and now we're talking about how to get along better. Because sometimes we have difficulty with that. So today I'm going to talk about relational conflicts and how to deal with them and what it means to live with integrity and what we do when we don't live with integrity in our relationships. And then we're going to take a look at Jesus as our model and then learn one of the relational skills from the book, so how to apply that to our lives. And so this relational skill is called the ladder of integrity, and it basically it will help us whenever we have some like little major things, but like little conflicts or things that are annoying us. It helps us to get honest with what's going on inside of us, and then clarify our values so that what we believe on the inside and what's going on the inside we can express in a healthy way on the outside with people. Okay. So that's what we're going to do, and then we will have a little bit of ministry time after that as well, okay? So I want to tell you a little story about my sister Glenda. So I have a sister Glenda who lives in BC, and how many of you have younger sisters? Anybody have a younger sister? Okay, how many ladies here have younger sisters? And know sometimes there's a little bit of competition that happens between siblings. Girls, does happen. So I was visiting my sister, and my sister says, "Hey Sherry, do you want to go climb the Chief?" And I'm like, "Sure, I'll climb the Chief. What's the Chief?" And she's like, "Well, it's like a mountain." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can climb a mountain. I know mountains, like Holiday Mountain, skiing. You know, I'm a prairie girl, right? I'm thinking mountain, Holiday Mountain, Mississippi. You know." That's a mountain, skiing, spring, ditch. Like, I can do this. So I'm like, yep, done deal. That is what she wanted me to climb with her. So when I kind of knew that's what it was, on the inside, I'm kind of like, I don't know. So this is the Chief. This is the Chief, and it's north of Vancouver, and it's about 750 meter elevation. It's an intermediate hike. So an intermediate climb is for people who have climbed mountains before, right? And it takes about 3 to 6 hours for healthy, experienced climbers. And she wants us to climb the Chief. And so I said yes. And so we proceeded to take part in this activity. So I'm going to tell you what we did. So she's actually not an experienced climber either, but she has a lot of passion and a lot of ambition. And so I'm like, I'm game, I'm in, let's go. So we get a backpack because we're not equipped. We get a backpack, and she goes and buys like a 12-pack of water. So I don't mean like the little skinny 12-packs of water. I mean like the big ones, you know, like the 750 mils. Pack it in the pack. You know how heavy that is? Do you know how heavy that is? So we pack all that water, and then we pack snacks for the walk up, lunch, snacks for the walk down, sunglasses, sweater, you know, all the different, you know, accoutrements that you need to climb the hike. And then we also packed a bottle of communion wine for us to take when we reached the top with two foldable camping communion cups that had to go in the backpack as well. And so we decided to start off on the Chief. And so there we go. But before we get there, there's actually another really nice place called Shannon Falls right beside, a little bit over. And so you got to see the falls first of all. So we put this, we had to share. Like we couldn't even divide it. It's like one person had to bear the load or drink a lot of water to get rid of the weight of it. And so we start off at Shannon Falls. And so then just carrying the pack, not even on like a going up at all, from Shannon Falls to the chief, like to the base of the chief. For me, this prairie girl, like, I'm totally done already. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what did I sign up for this for? Like, how did I just, like, agree to this? And I'm starting to have, you know, like, instead of, like, love feelings for my sister who I've come to visit, but other feelings of irritation and conflict for her. And so we're walking along, and so we come to like a little rest spot. Now we're actually climbing. We come to a rest spot, and there is like a young couple. There's a bunch of people, but there's two like 20 somethings that like young 20s that I'm like now I'm talking to them because I'm in my mind thinking like I'm game for anything, but I'm also pretty practical. So I want to know, am I gonna make it to the top? I want to know. So I'm like, so, you know, like, you know, how hard is this? You know, how hard is this? And so the guy, I'm not joking, he looks at me and he gives me the eyes up from like down, up, looks over at my sister, up, down, and then he looks me straight in the eyes and he goes, you two will never make it. And so, okay. I don't know if you know this, but in your head, there's actually a little switch. And in your head, that little switch on the one side says nice, right? Nice, the nice switch. And when you turn it the other way, it says not nice. And when he said that to me, the switch that I was like nice turned to not nice just like that, just like that. He just like irritated me so much. And so on the inside, as he said that, I'm thinking to myself, you little punk, do you not know that I go to Zumba 3 times a week? Do you not know that I have traveled more than 750 meters on the prairies? Do you not know who I am and what I can do? And in my mind, I'm like going like that, right? But all of a sudden, outside, I went like this to him. Oh, well, have a great hike. Have a great hike up the mountain. See you later. And so there was a disconnect between like what was going on the inside of me, which was like irritation. And on the outside, I all of a sudden was like nice and like just, you know, like pretending it was no big deal. But then the rest of that grind all the way there, in my mind, I'm thinking, I can't believe that guy. He's like such a jerk. How could he say that to me? And how could he? He's making a judgment. And I was beginning like to have this like sense of irritation and conflict on the outside. So finally, my sister and I grinding it through. And so we get to a place in the on the trail where you actually have to, like, you can't get to the top because you kind of have to go over this sort of like rock face thing, and you have to use chains. You have to like cling onto chains in order to climb up, and then you have to climb up this little skinny ladder. It's a bit of a big deal. And by the time that we even got there, I'm like pretty much done. I'm like, there's actually no way physically I'm going to be able to like do this next little piece because it was that difficult. So we just kind of decided, like, we're just going to do it, right? We're this far. What else are you going to do? So we climbed this ladder. We got on this ladder. We climbed it up. We got, you know, held onto the chains. We got to the over that piece. And then once we used that ladder to get up, the rest of it, you know, it was still difficult, but we ended up making it to the top. Yes. And I took a look for that guy, but he wasn't around to be able to say. But that's where we were. But the other thing I forgot to tell you is there was, as we were waiting just before the ladder, there was a guy that was, an amputee. He had no legs. And he was an athlete. He was this incredible athlete. And he had these, like, long poles. And he literally, as we're there, like, dying just about before to climb the ladder, he just, like, boom, goes past us. And he's just, like, up the ladder and off he went. And we're like, how do we do this? But we ended up climbing the ladder, and we made it to the top. And so that was our view from the top. It was pretty spectacular. And then that was me, proof that I'm up there. That's not my sister. She's over precariously on the edge saying, my legs are killing me. this is, how are we going to get down? That's what we were thinking. So this journey up the mountain is a picture of us. It's a picture of us and conflict. We always have conflict, right? Conflict and things that are difficult for us are always present. Paul said to me the other day when we were talking about this, the area around it is Squamish, and so Paul's like, were you squeamish about going up the Squamish? He's a funny guy. So conflict is everywhere. So this idea of climbing a mountain, conflict is everywhere. It's in our homes, it's in our families, it's in our work, it's in our relationships. And daily we are confronted with different kinds of conflict. We're all different, right? We're all created differently. So no wonder there's conflict, because we all have different ways of thinking, different ways of doing things. But we often, when we have conflict, we grumble all the way through it, just like I did as I was marching up that mountain. I grumbled all the way through it. And conflict can be for us a really steep climb, where we actually don't know how to get out of the conflict. But in order to climb to a better vantage point in conflict, where we are free of all of the feeling that happens, we have to have a ladder. We have to have some kind of tool that will help us to climb out of an impasse and give us a different view. And what we have to do is we have to learn to do the deep work of self-reflection with the Lord in order to help us know what's really going on and what we can do when we're having conflict. So we need to climb the ladder of integrity. So this is one of the actual ladders that we had to climb to go up. So we have to do a deep examine with the Spirit and to grow in our integrity and our wholeness. So a ladder is a support that will help us move from one place to another, and it takes us from a lower place to a higher place. And so if you're stuck in a pit, a ladder will help you climb out of it. It's a helper. It will move you from one place to another. And just like my sister Glenda and I used a ladder to climb the most difficult part of the climb, it's the same thing with us in human relationships. We need to have some kind of a ladder, some kind of a guide, something practical, something, a tool to help us when we are having conflict. So integrity. So what is integrity? We hear this word a lot. And so integrity is the idea of being whole, or having the quality of wholeness. So it means that your beliefs, so the things that you believe, are connected to your actions, and they're connected to your words. So all of those things are aligned. When all of those three things are aligned, we have integrity. And I kind of like to think of it as integrity is sort of like matchy-matchy, right? So like when all of those things are aligned, we have integrity. But we're not actually very good at having integrity at all as human beings. It's actually really, really hard for our words and our beliefs and our actions to align. It's pretty hard. For me, I often think that the little babies in the room, they have the most integrity, right? Because what's on the inside of them, they show on the outside. So if they're mad, what do? They cry. They tell us that we're mad, right? They get angry. If they are sad, they tell us that they're sad, right? They cry. They're upset. If they are happy, they coo. They do all the things that are exactly integral to themselves. They know who they are. There's no doubting with an infant, right? What they feel is what they express. As we get a little bit older, that kind of changes. But I know I was one time at I was at Gail's house, actually. We were having coffee, and it was about 4 o'clock, and there was a boy coming home from school. So he must have been about the age of 7, and so he was skipping down the road, And I thought, isn't that funny? Like, why do we not skip anymore when we're happy? Like, what happens to us that what's inside of us isn't often expressed in the same way on the outside. And then I think, like, as we even get older, teenagers, you know, where are my teenagers in the room? Where are my teenagers? Here's a couple. Okay, so do you remember, you guys love your parents, right? Love them, right? You've got a deep feeling of love for parents. They just love them so much. And then what happens when you go to school and you want to ride to school, right? Usually you want to ride. You say you want to ride to school. So they are parents who you say you love want to give you a ride to school. We give you a ride to school. And then you're like, could you drop us off a couple blocks away from the school? Why do you want to drop off a couple blocks away from the school? Well, I just don't want anybody to see you. Why? I thought you loved me. They don't act with integrity. They're inside. The things that they feel on the inside doesn't match with the outside. And then when we get older, it's even worse, right? How many of us are like, we're out with our friend calls us up and they say, hey, do you want to go out for coffee tonight? And on the inside, you're like, oh man, I just want to stay home and watch Netflix. And then on the phone, you're like, yeah, sure, I'll go. Or husband and wife, they're at the dinner table and like something's up. And so the husband's like, is everything okay? Is everything all right? And the wife's like, on the inside, she's like, is everything all right? Right? But then on the outside, she's like, yep, it's good. Nothing wrong. So we as people, we're the worst at this, aren't we? Right? We often have difficulty matching what's on the inside with what's on the outside, having the things that we believe deeply or things that are troubling us, expressing them on the outside. It's a strange phenomenon about us. So there's a quote from the book that says this: we violate our integrity when we do not live what we believe, think, or feel, or when we ignore values that we hold dear. Something inside of us, when we fail to speak up about our values and our preferences, God invites us to ground our identity in an ongoing experience of love of God in Christ and respectfully assert ourselves. So the invitation for us is to be authentic to who we are, to be able to share those things. And how others react or respond to that is their issue. It's actually not ours. Right? And so a lot of times conflict is really about what's inside ourselves. The only thing that we can change is ourselves. We can never influence really what other people are going to feel and believe. All we have control over is the things that is in ourselves. So what is it about us that we do this? Why are we so divided? Why do we not know sometimes who we are and who we belong to? Why is that? The scripture says that we are made alive in Christ, and that it's no longer us that live, but that Christ that lives within us. And that that we are, when we're made alive in Christ, that we're actually made dead to sin. And the things, the nature that was our nature before is gone, and that we assume a new nature in Christ. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Murray Bowen says that we need to define our life goals and our values apart from the pressures around us. And so that's often our difficulty, right? We get conformed to the world, and we get conformed to some of the expectations of others. And we don't often think about, like, what is it that we need and what is it that's going on in us? And often when we have conflict, it's really about what's happening inside of us. And we need to clarify those things. When we clarify that and we have then an expression where our beliefs and our actions and words match, then that is when we have integrity. So what's important on the inside becomes how we live on the outside. And then we are able to actually offer the world the love of Jesus without impediment. So identity. What is our identity? So John 1 verse 3 says that we are children that are born not of natural descent or of human decision, but or of a husband's will, but we're born of God. The New Living Translation says that we are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So our identity is not in the flesh. It's not in the flesh, but it's of God because we are new creations. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 that if anyone is in Christ, then he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come. So we need to know who we are in Christ. And when we know who we are, we can actually live by the Spirit and be transformed in our interactions with one another. So we have Jesus as our example. This is so good because he is the perfect example of how to walk with integrity. Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and so that's what we do in faith. We follow his direction. So in the scripture, Jesus shows us how to live relationally. He didn't live, although he came as a sacrifice and he sacrificed his life for us. He did do that as an ultimate sacrifice. In his relationships with people, he didn't walk around as a selfless person. He interacted with people and he shared his thoughts, he shared the things that God was showing him. So his outside matched what he believed on the inside. He lived from a place of loving union with the Father, and he lived out of his true self. And that true self comes from communion with God, and we have that as well. So he knew who he was, and so he lived with integrity. And sometimes I think when we think about Jesus, we think of him floating around, never having conflict with people. He just is strolling into every situation, with peace and love. But the gospel message was disruptive. It's actually very, very disruptive to culture. And it was the gospel message actually was a hotbed for conflict. And so when I think about Jesus' example of how to interact with conflict in relationships, he is the perfect model. And I think about even when Jesus was a young boy, he knew who he was. Because remember the story when they were in Jerusalem and the family left, and they were on the road, said, for 3 days, and they were then the parents decided to look for Jesus. I always wondered about that, right? Didn't you? There's 3 days on the road, and maybe we should look for Jesus. But anyway, Jesus wasn't there with them. He was back in the temple. And so when they found him, he said to them, they said, "Son," here's relational conflict right here in the family. "Son, why have you done this to us?" And Jesus' response to them was, "Well, didn't you know that I would be within my Father's house?" So even when Jesus was young, he had integrity. He knew who he was, and he acted out of that integrity. Is this making sense? Okay. All right. So that is Jesus as our example. So Jesus has some disciples, right? So he taught his disciples, he walked with his disciples, he taught them, and so now they need to know how to live as well. And so he teaches his disciples, and I want to read to you out of Galatians. So in Galatians, what's happening here is there is a relational difficulty that they're trying to resolve. And so when we read the beginning of Galatians, it says, "Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me." And when I read that, I think right away, already this letter to the Galatians, Paul knows who he is, right? He has his identity firmly rooted in the gospel and in the identity of Jesus. So So in this book of Galatians, what's happening is there's actually been a relational conflict within the church. And so the apostle is writing a letter to the Galatians to kind of straighten this out, because they've had, you know, they've actually had a major, major conflict. And so here is the backstory to the conflict. So the backstory is so the Jesus movement was, before it became a Jesus movement, it was a Jewish messianic movement, okay? We have to understand this piece of it. And then Jesus came, and we have the gospel message, and then all of a sudden, the gospel message opened up salvation for those who were not Jews, right? So now we have Christian Jews, and we have Christian Gentiles, okay? And so what ends up happening is now you have a movement that started with just the Jewish people, bringing in Gentile believers, and now we have a multicultural, multidimensional body of believers, right? And so when we have all of that difference, guess what we get? We get conflict, right? And so now we have some conflict. So here is the conflict. So what was happening is some of the Jewish Christians, they were called the Judaizers, okay? So some of these Jewish Christians, they kind of wanted to cling to the Torah and cling to the beliefs around the Torah. And so they kind of had the belief that, like, in order to be a real Christian, you still had to embrace the Torah. So you had to embrace, like, the eating laws and circumcision and the Sabbath and some of the other things. And so they were kind of teaching this to the Galatian church. And so when Paul writes to the Galatians, what had happened was Peter had gone to Antioch. And so when Peter had gone to Antioch, he was eating with the Gentile believers, right? Because that's what Jesus taught. We are a multicultural, everyone is saved through faith. And so he was eating with the Jewish people. Then when some of these Jewish believers, Christians that were the Judaizers, they said, well, actually follow that, you shouldn't, you know, be doing that, and you should only, like, separate yourself because you need to follow the Torah and you cannot be unclean. And so then he went and was kind of like now not eating with the Gentile believers, right? And so Paul, in the letters to the Galatians, he addresses this, and he says, because this is a big conflict, right? Because it's going against the teachings of Jesus that we're saved by faith and not by the works of the law, right? So he comes in and he addresses that conflict. He has a full-out, like, head-to-head conflict with the other apostle. And so now he is teaching the church about that, and he's saying, like, this is the correction. He's bringing correction. And so what is interesting in there is that he doesn't shy away from conflict. And we as Christians, we actually don't have to shy away from conflict either, but we have to make sure that what we believe is expressed in a way that has integrity and that has alignment. Okay, so the Apostle Paul responds to conflict, and he knows what to do, and he addresses the conflict. But we as people, we don't actually do very well with conflict, do we? We do lots of things, and these are some of the things that we do with conflict. So when there's conflict, I'm really good at this. I like to avoid it, right? So if something's going on, I'm like, I'm out of there. I'm going to just, like, be invisible for a couple weeks until it all blows down, goes away. And conflict is really easy, but it doesn't help us, because when we avoid conflict, the thing that has irritated us, or the thing that is still inside of us that is percolating, is still there. And it will always be there until we address that conflict. Another thing is sometimes people get competitive, where they're like, you know, when there's conflict, all of a sudden, like when I was climbing the chief, when that guy said, no, you can't, I said, oh, yes, I can, right? And we do this when we have conflict with each other. Someone says something upsets us or irritates us, and then all of a sudden we're like, okay, I'll show you. You know, you think this? I'll do this. And as people, we're just set to act badly with conflict. We're just kind of in our natures that we do this. Often we act aggressively when there's conflict. So something disagrees with us, and all of a sudden we're angry, and we are just not nice people. Or sometimes even when there's conflict, we just become passive. Like when I said before, where on the inside you're like, what, are you kidding me? And on the outside you're like, have a great day. Right? We do nothing. We do nothing. And those are not godly ways in order to respond to conflict. So how do we respond to conflict then? What can we do? Well, I want to encourage us as Christians that because we have the power of Christ that lives within us, that we have the power to be transformed in our spirit. And so we have the power to, we have access to power, access to the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so one of the ways in which we can deal with conflict is using the ladder of integrity skill. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. But before we even get to that skill, we need to, as a people of God, cultivate healthy spiritual disciplines in our life. Because that is where we learn to hear from the Lord. And that is where we learn to be able to bring some of the things that are difficult in our lives to Him. So I want to encourage us as believers to cultivate those things, to worship and to read your scriptures, to have time of prayer or time of contemplation, time of study, time to sit aside. Because when we have those, when we cultivate those spiritual disciplines, we have access to the life that is in the Spirit. So this is the ladder of integrity, and there is some sheets here that I'm going to hand out for you to take a look at. Now, this is a skill, okay? What this is that you would take this. This isn't a quick fix, but what I would do is you would take this skill, which is basically 10 questions that kind of helps you focus on what's going on when there's a conflict. So the first four questions are around what's going on inside of me, okay? The next group of questions are what you value. Like, so what's when you're having this conflict, what's important to you? And then the last group of questions are about what can I do? So I want to share with you how I experience this ladder of integrity. So I have a son, Jeffrey, who lives in Toronto. And so Jeffrey was home over Christmas, and he works at the University of Toronto. He's a professor there of psychology. And he was talking to me, and he's like, I want to write this children's book. I've got this children's book idea. So at Christmas, we were talking about it, and he's like, you know, what should we do? And so I'm a children's book writer. I have a couple of books that I've written. And so we were kind of just discussing. So it ended up that we decided at Christmas time that we would co-write this book together. Great idea, right? How fun is that? Co-write a book with your son. And so we set up a couple of FaceTime working sessions to do this job. So everything's going great. We were in our first time. And how many of you know that, you can have conflict at work, right? Conflict at work happens all the time. Now add working with family to that. And guess what that's going to be? So we hadn't really thought that through, but we're working away. So we come to a point where we're trying to talk about a line in the story. So the line is it's a children's book, and so in the story there's a character called Thunder, okay? And so Thunder is with his grandfather, and his grandfather says, "Thunder, listen to the sweet grass whispers." Okay? That's the first one. Thunder, listen to the sweet grass whispers. This is what Jeffrey says. He goes, that should be the line. Thunder, listen to the sweet grass whispers. And so I say, you know what? I kind of like thunder, listen to the sweet grass whisper. So focus on that word thunder. Whispers. Whispers with an S. Or whisper without an S. And so we're at kind of like a little fork in the road. We haven't had conflict yet. We're just like, Jeffrey says, I like this. I say, oh, I like this. Okay? So then we're not at conflict yet. So then I read it and I'm listening and I say, well, you know what, Jeffrey? Thunder, listen to the sweetgrass whispers. You know what? It's beautiful. It's nice. I said, but you got to remember that when you're you know, writing children's literature, it's read for children. Children have to be able to engage with that line. As beautiful as it is and poetic as it is, you got to remember that you're reading to children. So to which he says, I know, Mom, that you're reading to children. I'm not dumb. And I'm like, okay, so I want to know, first of all, how many of you here are in your, like, 30s? How many of you are in your 30s here? Okay, a few of you, put your hands up really tall so we can see you guys. Okay, we love you. We love you guys so much because you guys know some stuff. You have, like, gone to university. You've been working. You are in the height of your careers. You know so much stuff. You are so brilliant. And we love you because you hustle in the church. You are amazing. Okay, how many parents of 30-somes are in here? Anybody? Anybody got some? Okay, parents, hands up. Okay. 30s, just hang on for a second, okay? We love you so much. Okay, and now I'm speaking to the parents. Parents, how many of you guys know that our 30-somethings that know so much stuff, they sometimes think that we don't know anything, right? How many times? And how many of you guys remember and know that not only do they not think that we know stuff, but that they think that they have to tell us all the stuff that we don't know. And they tell us, we don't mind sometimes that they tell us stuff that we don't know, because honestly, sometimes we need help with Twitter, right? Sometimes we need help with our Instagram, all that stuff. We need that help. But we like to be helped with a feather, right? A nice little feather. Here you go, hon. This is how you do it, Mom. But sometimes those 30-somethings, they like to tell us with a hammer, right? So I said, you know, Jeffrey, this is, you know, I don't think this. And he's like, I'm not stupid. I know that. And so I thought, you know what? He's a psychologist. He can handle, you know, relational conflict. So I'm just going to tell him, like, what, you know. And so I had felt gone from, like, inside, naughty, nice, right? Like, I'm feeling it right now because he said that. So I'm like, you know, Jeffrey, sometimes I experience you as abrasive. And he's like, well, you know, Mom, sometimes I experience you as abrasive and sometimes condescending. And then I was trying to think of, like, a great way, like, to respond to this because, you know, I wanted to, like, get in there. And then he's like, and this conversation is finished. Boom. And he, like, he hangs up on me on FaceTime. What? What? And so I actually was... It was really, like, it happened so fast. And, you know, that's how conflict happens, right? Like, it's over something stupid, a letter, an S, right? It's over whether we put an S on a word or whether we don't put an S on a word, right? But it actually has nothing to do with that situation. There's something deeper going on, right? And so what I did is I was really upset about it. So I went immediately and I went and I sat down in our living room. And I actually hadn't even known about this ladder of integrity, but because I'm a counselor, I guess I kind of do know some of those things automatically. And so I just sat there and I just quieted myself in the Lord. And I was like, Lord, what is going on here? What is happening? And so I asked myself some of those questions that are in this ladder of integrity. What's going on in me? What is it in this situation do I value? Like, what's going on, and what do I hope for? And so what ended up happening was I realized that what was going on is that I had some beliefs. We had some some expectations that weren't informed, right? Like, I had some expectations that, you know, if we worked together, if this was a colleague, I would have been able to, we would have handled this no problem. But because it was family, it just kind of went, like, crazy. And so we had some unmet expectations. And I had some other things, like, oh, like, I had a belief in my head that, like, young people are supposed to respect their elders. And I was thinking, well, the way I was reacting wasn't overly respectful. And I went through the process of asking myself some of these questions and asking myself, like, what's going on with me? And then I realized, even in the conversation, that it really wasn't about the conflict. It was about something deeper. And it was actually about a relational fracture that Jeffrey and I had and that we had been working through. And so we were just ultra sensitive to any kind of criticism. And it had nothing to do with like the situation, but it had more to do with the sensitivity that was going on within us. Right. And so right there and then I just was I just went through these questions and just like realized like this is actually about me. It has nothing to do with Jeffrey. It's about me. This is about my issue. This conflict is about me. And so I ended up just praying there and just making some decisions about how I was going to handle this. And then Jeffrey called back. And so we were able to just share to say like, and just say those things like, this wasn't really Jeffrey about that conflict. I'm sorry. This was about this. And I was being sensitive and we were able to resolve the conflict. And then it was so good because it felt so, I felt like I was walking with integrity. I felt like the things that I believed on the inside, I clarified and I understood what was motivating those things. And then they were able to match with the way that we dealt with the conflict. And so I share that story with you because it's really important for us as Christians to be able to resolve conflict with one another because conflict happens all the time. And I know that there are probably many situations here within our community, even now, where there's conflict, right? It may be that you have conflict within your family setting, or conflict with your kids or your siblings, or conflict within your work communities, or even within the church community. Often there can be conflict. And so this ladder of integrity skill is something that we can do to examine the things that are going on inside of our hearts. So before we close right now, do we have time? Okay. I just want us to close our eyes and I want us to connect with the Spirit of God that lives within us. Okay. And what I want to do is I want to ask right now that the Spirit would reveal to you somebody or something, a conflict situation that has been like, that's flicked your switch, right? Something that has like been an irritation to you. And so I'm just going to ask the Spirit of God to come and reveal that conflict to you right now. So let's just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, come, and I pray that you would reveal to your people areas of conflict that you would like to walk with them in, where you would like to be the ladder that takes them from a place of turmoil and frustration to a place of a clear view, a clear understanding. So Lord, I pray right now that as you do that, you would help them to enter into this and to embrace that invitation to walk with you, to examine this conflict and see what's really going on inside of them. In Jesus' name. How many of you, as we prayed, actually did a conflict did come to mind? How many of you, if you don't mind just putting up your hands just like that? Okay, the reason why I'm asking that is because we just asked for you to experience the Holy Spirit, and we just asked that God would reveal himself to you, and he did. Right? That's how easy it is to connect and hear from God, is we ask, and when we ask, he responds and he speaks to us. And that is one of the values that we hold in the Vineyard, is that we believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that when we pray those things, that he comes and he reveals himself to us and he transforms us in our thinking and in our minds. So that's a value, and we just did that right here, right now. And we just, there's evidence of his working among us, and that is a beautiful thing. So I'm going to encourage you, we're going to hand out, Paul, can you hand out some of these, and we'll have some at the doors when you go out. Please take one of these, because that conflict that the Lord has revealed to you, I'm encouraging you to sit down with the Lord this week and walk through this ladder and ask him these questions, and I know that he will encourage you in those things. So we need to dismiss you to have go to see the pick up your kids and things. But we also want at this time to invite anyone to come forward that needs prayer. So if you do have a relational conflict that you would like prayer about, we want to pray for you. And we have trusted leaders here that will do that for you. So if you have a relational issue, or if you have a need of healing, or just a need of prayer before you go home today, we want to give that opportunity for you to do that. So I know Jesse will come and play some music. So please, you're released to receive your children, but please don't leave. If you have a need, please come, and we would love to pray for you and to encourage you in this way. So bless you, everyone. So we release you, and to walk with integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.